Hey everyone, welcome back to Sharp Elbows. My name is Nadal McCoshfee. You're listening to Representative Francesca Hong and Rep. Christina Shelton today. Christina, I have a question for you, and I hope this kind of leads us into a deeper conversation about messaging. But you were a teacher, or you'll always be a teacher, and I'm wondering if there are any skills that have overlapped between, you know, your experience in public schooling and now in the legislature.
Oh, it's so great, Nada. I love this question. Yes, 100%. We need more educators in the legislature and elected office. The standing joke I like to make is, you know, I've taught 50 middle schoolers in one gymnasium how to play badminton, and and I can walk into the assembly floor and say what it needs to be said and wrangle those folks too. So, you know, I've taught sex ed to seventh graders. This is easy.
I'm sure the middle schoolers were easier too.
Yeah. Well, you know, look, educators are incredible at knowing how to build consensus, how to navigate multiple opinions and thought processes and pieces of information. Mm-hmm. They're great at bringing the group together to work with one another, because learning is a social construct. We do it together. And so that skill set is incredibly important. I think, you know, it's I feel very comfortable getting up in front of people and speaking. And we just need more educators, because they're working folks. They know what it takes every day to get up and bust their butt, you know, all day, and then to work on the weekends. And they do it for the love of the profession. And when I wonder if this is the right space for me, I lean on my background in the classroom. Mm-hmm. And that always reminds me of who I am and where I come from.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love that. I know that teachers have been such a huge, you know, part of my life, and I've definitely learned a lot, especially about teamwork when it comes from gym class. Do you think there's a lot of teamwork in, you know, not only your caucus, obviously, but in politics in general, or is that something we need more of?
I think we absolutely need more strategy behind what we do. Mm-hmm. We hear a lot in elected office, oh, it's a team sport, we want to be collaborative. And I think sometimes you see action speaking differently than what people are expressing through their words. It is a team sport. Mm-hmm. What we need to do a better job of is seeing people for the skills that they bring, the superpowers that they have, getting people into the right places at the right times. Because, you know, what you do, what Fran does, you know, what my colleagues do are not necessarily things that I do well. But when we work together, our power is amplified. And that's when you see revolutionary change. But I also want to just take a moment to shout out to all the educators that are listening or will be listening. This year has just been incredibly difficult, but it does show the importance of public education. And so thank you, teachers and educators, for everything that you've given to our community, our state, our kids, our families. We could not have gotten through this past year without you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, what has been the most difficult thing, right? This isn't an easy transition for you. And I was lucky enough to meet you during our campaigns this summer. And I think we just started DMing each other on Facebook, but that same fire that you had then, you certainly have now. But I'm wondering, is there anything else you came into the legislature with that you have lost, or it's something that you have, like, I don't know how to articulate this, but is there anything that you've kind of, within this transition into becoming a legislator versus an activist, is there something missing there, or is it the same?
You know, I think for me, and I'm grateful that I was able to serve on the school board too before doing this, because I think it sharpened my sense, you know, of how this goes. But it is so easy to lose your sense of self and authenticity in this work. There is such an old school mentality of, this is how this looks when you are a legislator, right? This is how you dress. This is how you talk. This is how you approach the work. And often, you know, that's grounded in the way men do their work. You know, it's very, very old school. There's still an old school old boys club right there. And I have fought against imposter syndrome every single day, you know, I'm trying to be true to who I am. And, you know, I want to be me. And what I realize is when I am me, and I am my authentic self, and when I can step into that and lean into that, whether it looks like a traditional legislator or not, that's when I am most successful. And you know, that's why representation matters, right? That's why we need, just more broadly speaking, people from all walks of life that have the opportunity, the social capital, the political capital, the financial capital to be able to do this. Because when you see someone that looks like you doing it, it makes you feel agency that you can be yourself in it. But that imposter syndrome, I mean, the culture,
oh yeah,
you down every day, as you both know. Yeah,
I see it. Rep Hong, Fran, have you been able to mediate, you know, that activism with being a legislator? You're muted, Fran.
Thank you. Oh, I've never done that on this show.
I know, that was a first.
That was a first one. Folks want to talk about first, so here you go. I'm going to mute myself on the radio. I think activism guides a lot of the way I navigate spaces in the legislature. I think, you know, the way we have to lobby for issues, the way we have to argue for certain priorities. But I also have to sometimes mitigate it when I'm having conversations with Republicans or even folks in the caucus, and kind of, I don't want to go as far as to say I'm tone policing myself, but I go into more of my hospitality mode. I go into more of which I think activism allows us to see the human and the humanity in each other, which is why it's so important. But when I say I'm going back into my hospitality mode, I think it's just kind of recognizing in someone else where they're going to be more comfortable and kind of sacrificing my own comfort in it, right? So when I'm having difficult conversations with people that I don't know as well, or I understand, you know, hold more of the power in the room, I go into hospitality mode. I go into what can I do to elevate them, to make them see that I'm not a threat, you know, try to make everyone a little bit more comfortable in the room. I know I don't have food or a menu to talk about that with, but I know there's always something to connect over. And so I'm fortunate to have, you know, just maybe bringing in the fact that I'm a small business owner, or talking about, you know, sports, or just kind of trying not to schmooze, but recognizing that I may have to go into those lanes sometimes, and really giving myself some grace that it's part of it, but it's not all of it.
Well, and what's great about that, Fran, is because you've come at this from many different, you've worn many hats, right? You recognize the hat that you're wearing now, and there are opportunities that are in front of you now that are different than when you were an activist or an organizer, or, you know, in starting, you know, whatever you were doing. And so it's like, when you realize that you're not alone, it's like, okay, this is what I have in front of me here. This is what I can act on, but I can work with people behind the scenes and the different spaces they are in. And they're going to do it in a different way. Right. So when I decenter myself, when I remove myself from the center, like, okay, it makes it less scary as well to think about how you approach it.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, a lot of the work that we do is actually a form of organizing. You know, we have to organize colleagues to come along with us on an issue. We also have to recognize that, you know, being in an activist mindset to fight for policies, it is actually, you know, a big part of what guides us in that. But I think, you know, there's less navigating that identity of going back and forth, of more and finding out where they can merge.
Right. You two have only been in office since January, and I think you've kind of touched upon a balance in terms of messaging or a strategy that I don't see very often in the Democratic Party. There's this kind of, you know, people like to stick to the traditional, and the traditional, I think, has been outdated with just how fast our society is changing, and how fast it's changed because of the economic, the political conditions since 2016. And I don't know if our party has caught up yet. And I think we're going on break in a couple minutes, but I'm wondering if either one of you agrees with that.
Yeah, I mean, with just the way that information is being shared, Facebook Live, I mean, there's just this different way that you connect with constituents that is just so much less formal. And, you know, I was talking to a constituent the other day on a call, and she said, you know, you're the first legislator that I feel like I actually have a personal relationship with. She said, you text me and you're in the community and the way you talk. And I told her, I said, that's the greatest compliment anyone could ever give me. Because, and I said, because I'm your neighbor. I live right down the street from you. How else would I talk to you? That's bizarre to me that I would talk to you in this formal way. And of course, there are times where you have to do that. But if we don't realize that we're all in this together and we're all neighbors, then we lose ourselves in the work.
I always like going back to what you remind me of, Nada, is that the Capitol does not belong to us. It belongs to the people, and we work for the people. Literally, you are our bosses. And that's what I hope the rest of our caucus and our colleagues across the aisle is what pushes them to not center themselves. And the way we communicate with our constituents has to be that we work for you. We are fighting for you, and we will be here for you, and know that we need you as well.
Fingers crossed that they listen to this, and I'm not too hopeful on a lot of fronts, but you're listening to Devil Radio. More on that 92.7 FM. See you after the break.
Hardest thing I've ever said, you know, that's the hardest thing I've said.